I have been remiss. I have been delinquent. I have been negligent, and many other words out of a thesaurus that means neglectful of my sworn podcast duties. Well, that changes this week, if only briefly. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 326, Questions and Feedback. It's time for RSEQ and A. When I first began the podcast, lo, these many years ago, I thought that answering your questions and responding to your feedback would be a regular feature of the podcast. But it soon became clear to me that keeping track of your questions, comments, and feedback requires a level of clerical organization that is clearly beyond me. But this week, I have managed, well, not this week, this morning, I have managed to go back through my emails and website comments, and I want to share with you as much as I can in the next 15 minutes. Now, questions and feedback that we receive take many forms, and the majority of the feedback we get, at least in the comments on our website, take the form of, please come to my city, please come to this theater in my town. I'm going to refer you to podcast 293, Booking Our Tours, in which Reed Martin and I talk with Mark Macon and our UK producer, Davey Naylor, about how and why we go to the venues we choose to go to. But sometimes the feedback comes in the form of corrections. Now, speaking of Davey Naylor, 16 weeks ago now, we did a podcast, number 310, called Kings and Queens, in which Davey, just at dinner, rattled off the history of the British monarchy, going all the way back to the probably 12th century, or if sooner, probably 7th century. We got an email from Diane Wilshire, and she said, I am so far behind on listening to the podcast, I really enjoyed this one, Kings and Queens, as I am just as geeky when it comes to the Kings and Queens of England. And I caught two errors. Oh dear, here we go. Error number one, Henry VIII did not have syphilis. We know that because they have his medical records, and he was never treated with mercury as his French rival Francois the First was. Okay. Number two, your dear friend, she means Davy, mentioned that Charing Cross and the Eleanor Crosses were in memory of Henry III's Queen Eleanor of Provence. They were commissioned by Edward I for his Queen Eleanor of Castile. There were 12 originally and marked the resting places of her body as they traveled from Lincoln to Westminster Abbey. They were married as young teenagers, and this tribute shows a rare example of an arranged royal marriage with signs of genuine love. All right. Well, so I forwarded that to Davey Naylor this weekend to see what his response was. And Davey said, apologies to dear Diane. She is quite right. The theory that that Henry VIII had diabetes is more common these days, but only since about 2010. I was taught at school it was syphilis. Also, I did know it was Eleanor of Castile, but I wrongly married her to her father-in-law. I hate it when that happens. Then he says, oh gosh, and then he says, and I wish he hadn't, if she'd like to come and see one of the shows near where she lives, I would gladly extend her two complimentary tickets in exchange for a good natter with her after the show. And I said, no, Davey, this could establish a horrible precedent if we start giving out free tickets every time people catch us out in a mistake. And I reminded him that this was said over dinner. You know, at a curry house. So he said, was it? Oh, well, then I revoke the complimentary tickets. What's said at the curry house stays in the curry house, which I think is a fair point. We're going to refer to that podcast from now on as Davey's Curry House Rantings. Still, he got pretty much of English history right while stuffing vindaloo into his face. Sometimes we get reactions to specific shows. For instance, we got this email from Carter Miller, who said, gentlemen, I managed to get over to Merrimack Rep on Wednesday last to catch your show. This was sent to us on December 4th in 2011. And he says, a particular moment compelled me to send this. During your 12 Days of Christmas audience participation song, when you reached the 12th gift, a woman in the balcony said, 12 years cancer-free, and pulled off her wig to reveal her, as you put it, Reed Martin haircut. When describing this to a friend after the show, her response was, "Oh, wow, that must have been awkward." And he says, "Well, this couldn't be further from the truth. I was impressed and genuinely moved by how you incorporated this very personal reveal into your show, taking what had been a fun and funny comedy bit and instantly morphing it into something that, for me, embodies the spirit of the holidays and the celebration therein. I thought about that moment a lot, and it came to the conclusion that this will be a memory of the power of live theater that will be with me forever. Kudos to you all, both metaphorically and literally. I will totally buy each one of you a chocolate-covered granola bar, should you wish. Thanks for a great show and a great memory. Carter." Thank you, Carter. I also have gotten a series of emails from a woman named Alice Ramsey, who has been going through listening to all of the podcasts, and I've started calling her my one-woman quality control, because she has pointed out that several of the links to the podcast, standalone podcast player links are not working on our website. So I have, thanks to her, thanks to Alice, I have managed to fix those links, and so now they are almost all playable, unless there are some that Alice and I have missed. I won't read you all of our emails, because both she and I go back and forth. But she says, "Thanks so much for fixing the podcast. It was another fascinating one. Thinking about playwrights who direct reminds me of my days singing in small groups when we directed ourselves. There were advantages and disadvantages. Thanks for the great podcast. I like the variety. They are always so heartfelt and entertaining." Well, thank you, Alice, for all of that. This one is from a gentleman by the name of Frank Forkel, which is just a great name. He says, "Hi, Austin. This is Frank Forkel, weekly podcast listener. You remain part of my workday every Monday, providing ample background entertainment along with the past weekend's Wait, Don't Tell Me, both of which leave me struggling to stifle laughing out loud in my office." Oops, sorry. But keep up the good work. Keep appearing on NPR. It's how this fan found you. And don't let Reed keep you from doing sci-fi episodes. I love them." Yes, all right. No, I shall not let Reed define me. But in fairness, I will try to do at least one baseball podcast for every sci-fi podcast. Best wishes on your tours. Come back to Western New York sooner rather than later. We would certainly like to. Charmaine Burton posted a comment on the website page, and she says, "Is the RSC going to be performing the Christmas show in the UK?" This is a question we've gotten a lot. And the answer is, oh gosh, we sure hope so. We are crossing our fingers, and we're crossing all of our appendages, really. And we continue to pester Davey Naylor, our UK producer, to bring over the Christmas show. He very much wants to, and it's really a question of finding the venue, finding the appropriate time, finding the cast, when we can all go over there and do it. So one of these days, that is very much definitely in the hopes and the plans. We also just get great suggestions. We got one from Ben Wareham on July 2nd, last summer when we were playing in New York, who gave us some information about the Duckworth-Lewis method of scoring cricket, which we actually then later interpolated into the show. So that was great. I always love getting that sort of information from a fan. Christian Phipps says, "Let me start by saying I love your podcast. I've been listening to them from the beginning. I've now started listening to them over again." Wow. "I usually listen to them while working out, so thank you for keeping me in shape." You're so welcome. "If you ever wondered if your podcast helped people lose weight, they do. My second point is this. I'm currently a daycare teacher. I have been looking at career options, and I saw that the Barnum & Bailey Circus hires nursery workers and teachers to travel with the show. I know Reed toured with Barnum & Bailey. Could you tell me anything about this side of the tour? Also, how did you like working and traveling with this company? I appreciate anything you could tell me." You know what? I don't think we've ever talked about specifically daycare on the circus, and I can't tell you whether Barnum & Bailey offers daycare to its children of clowns or children of acrobats or not. But we have talked about the circus, and you've probably heard these, but in case you haven't, podcast episode number 101 is called Clown College Reunion, and that's when Reed Martin and Matt Croak went back to their Clown College Reunion and interviewed former clowns and old friends. But also we talked about the Ringling Brothers being a clown with Ringling Brothers in podcast episode 190 entitled Worst Jobs Ever. And that might tell you a little something about what we think about that.
Hi, this is Rich Fulcher, Bob Fossil from the Mighty Boosh, and you're listening to the Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Next month, we return with performances of The Complete World of Sports Abridged in Scottsdale, Arizona and Moorhead, Minnesota. Then in April, we begin our 12-week tour of Great Britain of the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, Revised, followed by our return to London in July, where we'll be performing at a brand new venue, the Leicester Square Theater. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. In fact, this issue, the March issue, tells you who the cast of the UK tour will be, so you'll want to check it out. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. This is from Clara Kelly, who says, I'm catching up on old podcast episodes ridiculously out of order and just listened to episode 281, Guilty Theatrical Confessions, which was possibly my all-time favorite. I always have these nagging thoughts that maybe I should like certain playwrights or plays or musicals and composers, Rodgers and Hammerstein, anyone, better than I do. And it's nice to hear that even you real live theater people sometimes think Chekhov and Shakespeare and Sondheim and Death of a Salesman can be overrated. I'm glad you clarified that you like West Side Story, though, because I don't think I could be friends with anyone who didn't like West Side Story. Anyway, I've wanted to write to you for years and tell you how much I love you and how you're inspiring your podcast is. Well, that's very nice. It's very nice to remember that professional and, in some cases, very well-known actors are also real live people. So thank you. I don't know who the really well-known actors is she's talking about, but this sentiment is terrific. Sometimes the emails we get verge on the encyclopedic. To make the most of their feedback email, they ask many, many questions. This is one from KG. I stumbled onto the podcast because I'm an old-time radio fan. From Jack Benny and The Shadow, it's a short hop to The Goon Show and Just a Minute, and once you tap into the huge reserves of British radio comedy and drama, it's only a matter of time before you become aware of the Reduced Shakespeare radio show. I've never had the pleasure of seeing you guys perform before, but back in March 2007, I must have re-listened to the show and Googled you and found the podcast, and it's been part of my weekly ritual ever since. I have absolutely no involvement with the theater, so perhaps it's a bit odd that my favorite podcasts are the ones that deal with the behind-the-scenes aspect of theater life, particularly the creative and business aspects, how you write shows, how you cast them, how theaters pick which plays to present. Having been a loyal listener for over 5 years, I've got a few questions and comments that have piled up, so if you don't mind, I'll just pass them along now en masse. You occasionally mention doing a show in rep. For the benefit of us non-theater folks, what in the world does that mean? Well, that means that several shows are running in repertory. For instance, out of the 8 shows a week that a theater traditionally performs, it might be 3 performances of one play, 4 performances of another play, and 1 performance of a third play, or in some variation on those numbers. Repertory happens a lot less now than it used to. Now, you know, you'll get one play running for 3 or 4 weeks, and then that'll take a break for a week, and then they'll put up a new play. But still, this still happens at the National Theatre, for instance, in London. It still happens at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival in Ashland, Oregon, where they have, gosh, as many as 3 or 4, 5, 6 shows running in 3 or 4 theaters in rep. KG goes on to ask, question number 2, a couple of years ago you had a fairly large touring company juggling 6 to 8 actors who went out all over the world. Now it seems that it's Austin Reed plus Rippy or Dominic Conti. What happened to the large cast? Is that just a function of the economy now and less demand for theater, or is this just part of the natural ebb and flow of the business? It is all of those things. It is a function of the economy. It is part of the natural ebb and flow. I think there has been less demand for theater in the last 4 or 5 years with the economy in the kind of the bad situation that it's in. There's less disposable income. People are holding on to their disposable income and not wanting to spend it on going to shows, and venues are programming fewer shows. But having said all that, it looks as if we're going to be running quite a few companies again this fall. I don't have the specific dates because not everything is penciled in, but I do think you will be seeing greater combinations of actors starting in this fall of 2013. KG goes on to ask, Austin, one thing that was ambiguous when you discussed your reasons for moving to Chicago, is it because your physical location no longer matters to getting cast, i.e., are you just as likely to get cast as a lawyer in Law & Order, Timbuktu, if you live in Chicago and L.A. since the producers know your work and are on their radar? Or did you leave because the TV work has basically dried up and didn't seem likely to improve? I hope that's not too personal a question. No, it isn't a too personal question. It's a highly legitimate professional question. No, a location does matter. matter. There's a lot less chance of me getting cast in anything in Los Angeles now that I live here in Chicago. There is, however, a much greater chance of me getting cast in something that shoots in Chicago. So location does matter. The work had changed, the economy had changed, the business had changed, and I had changed. I say this as a joke, but it might actually be true. I got to that awkward age where I was too old to play a lawyer, but too young to play a judge. So, maybe they will find other roles for me as I continue to, what's that word, age. KG, God, I apologize, KG. I could have done an entire podcast with just your essay. I bought the America DVD at the table after your performances in Oklahoma and watched it last night. Much to my surprise, the America DVD was even funnier than the Shakespeare DVD. Had I known that it featured an extended radio play plus a film noir spoof, I would have bought it much sooner. Speaking of the Reduced Shakespeare radio show, I would love a podcast focused on the making of that radio show. Oh, that's a good idea. You guys have barely acknowledged it in the podcast, aside from a passing comment once by Reed. I gather it was not the best of experiences. No, that's absolutely not true. The radio show was a great experience, and I think we have talked about it. It was they completely let us do whatever we wanted. It was really fun, and we would love to do another one. KG concludes, this has been the opposite of a reduced email, I'm afraid. You can see why I don't use Twitter. Thanks again for putting on a great show. I look forward to the next time you guys pass our way. KG, thanks for that long email. That was terrific, and I probably should have just made an entire podcast dedicated to answering your questions. That would have been better. Next time. Next time you write me a longer email, we'll make it its own podcast. Here is a different kind of email that we received, but it's a terrific one. This is from Lauren Byron. Dear Austin or Reed or Matt or Artificially Intelligent Robot, have you considered that RSC needs more vagina? Stick with me here. This isn't vagina spam, even though it might look like it. It's just that I followed RSC for years, and I've yet to see any vagina get some play up there. You have men playing women's parts, so maybe it's time to get some women up there playing men's parts. It's the 21st century. Equality and androgyny and blurring the lines of and such. Fortunately, I have a vagina and breasts as well. The complete package, all available for your comedic enjoyment. I bet you're thinking, Lauren, how can we put Matt in a wig if there's a perfectly good uterus-laden, luxuriously hair-combing maiden right next to him? Easy. I'll simply be way more masculine than he is. If you think it's funny to put a man in a wig, imagine how good it will be when that wig is forced upon him by a 5'5" woman who puts him in a headlock. It seems only fair to have a woman. Think of all the things you could get away with. For example, a new show, The Complete World of Sex Abridged, or The Complete World of Love, depending on how emotional you're feeling right now. You know you want to write that. Hell, I want to write that. Let's write it together. Cheers, Lauren Byron. P.S. I enjoy your podcast. Well, Lauren, P.S. I enjoy your email. Somehow most of the men in the Reduced Shakespeare Company do think about vagina a lot. And we have, and you're quite mistaken, of course, we have had a gyno-centric human being in the Reduced Shakespeare Company way back in the early days, of course, but then also when we did the Complete Millennium Musical Abridged, which if you haven't heard, you should. It's an old question, and it's a question we get a lot. Why aren't there any women in the Reduced Shakespeare Company? And the short joke answer is, why aren't there any men in Destiny's Child? It's just the way it happened. The good news for us is that almost everybody behind the scenes of the Reduced Shakespeare Company are women, and we're grateful to them because the RSC wouldn't keep going without Jane Martin, our general manager, and Ali Bostad, our wardrobe supervisor and office manager and stage manager and everything else she is. And I personally, on a personal note, on a personal non-Reduced Shakespeare Company related note, I am quite aware of the need for more comedic theatrical literature out there requires funny women. I am doing what I can in a non-Reduced Shakespeare Company way to address that issue, and hopefully that'll be something I can talk about soon. One of the things we've done in the last 6 months to a year that has received quite a bit of commentary is podcast number 307, which was about my good old friend Ambassador Chris Stevens. We got a lot of lovely feedback to that podcast where our fellow roommate Steve McDonald and I remembered Chris. This is from Janet Reimer or Reimer. I apologize for getting your name wrong if I did. And she says, thank you so much for the recent podcast sharing memories of Ambassador Chris Stevens. I've enjoyed all the podcasts I've heard over the last couple of years, but this one hit home. Because of Austin and Stephen McDonald's discussion, Chris Stevens is no longer just an admirably courageous ambassador lost in a tragic situation. Another name in the news illustrating the effects of conflict created by differing ideologies. You made him real and human for those of us who did not have the honor of knowing him. He's a notable example of how to live life, not just to get ahead, but experience it to the fullest. And a woman named Fatima put a comment on the website that said, I was searching for some Shakespearean performance on YouTube when I encountered your plays, and being a literature student, I laughed my very best at some serious lines I have ever read or felt. Then I searched for you guys, wanting to know more about your company, then came across this podcast about Libyan Ambassador Chris Stevens, who was also a friend to one of the theater members. I am a Muslim originally from Pakistan, living in Saudi Arabia. We were, the educated Muslim community in general, were shocked to hear the news of his assassination, as Islamically and legally it was atrocious and not permissible at all. May Allah protect us all, Muslims and non-Muslims, I mean, and give his true and right guidance so that we can all excel in this world and hereafter. Amen. Thank you, Fatima. Absolutely. Amen. That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your questions, comments, and corrections via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. Questions posted on Facebook or Twitter usually get answered directly and in a relatively timely fashion. You can find easy links to all these social networks on our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Ombudsman Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Hank Schiffman. No reason, it's just random. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 326/978 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. We did a podcast about which of the former American presidents would be suitable touring members of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. And a listener named John T. Took us to task, appropriately enough. He said, you skipped Warren G. Harding. Warren G. Harding was popular with the ladies, so perhaps the RSC could use him to woo groupies. He was elected in 1920, the first election in which women voted. If he's not America's favorite philandering president, he's at least on the list, and he died in bed with his mistress while on tour. Well, that... You're absolutely right, John. We stand corrected. He would be a fine functioning member of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.